Amen. Come on, give Pastor Ryan a big God bless you today. It's great to see you today. He's got something good in store for you today. Everybody say, I know God has something good for me. Amen. Lord, make that a reality in every life and in every heart, I pray today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him you look younger than the last time I saw you. What are you doing to yourself? You look good. I want to reaffirm what Pastor Aaron said about this Thursday night. Chuck and Helen Todd are great friends. Many people in the church have traveled the world with them, including myself, and we love them dearly. I've spoke at their missions conference for the last 6-7 years and met some incredible people there. And also on our missions trips, we've just met people from all over the world, and they are deeply loved. And I know for some of you, Thursday is, you know, you've never had the Thursday night service on your radar. Can I just encourage you to consider that this week because of the anointing that's going to follow with them into the house? They're just incredible in a heart for the world. They go to 19 different nations around the world, and your life will be impacted. They're not like, you know, when I first got saved, a missionary would come in and he'd come in on a Sunday. That was back when we had the overhead projector. How many of you even know what an overhead projector is? How many of you don't have any clue of what I'm talking about? Yeah, Andrew's hand right up there. I actually think we have one in the basement of the Generation Center. Unless it got thrown out, I don't know. We might bring it out just for a prop, but that's not who they are. Your lives will be impacted in a great way, and it'll be blessing. And 2 weeks out will be Hector Santos. He's just one of our all-time favorites here. Has a prophetic gifting on him that will just encourage you and be a blessing with you. Just if you're free tomorrow, I'll be on WDCX. I'm going to be hosting the afternoon radio program for my friend Neil Boron from 2 to 5. So I'd love to have you on there. And as you walk out today, you see the tables on both sides. Those are people representing our Connect groups. And if you have any questions, they will help you and be a great blessing to you. Erin, last thought, she also talked about the National Night Out, August 10th at St. Anthony's. I just want to say we're very honored and blessed that the City of Batavia, the Police Department, would choose to want to partner with us for this incredible evening. There will be representations of police there from all over. They even bring in the horses, the mounted police from Wyoming County. And I just think that's really cool. And there is a possibility that the Mercy Flight helicopter will make a showing that night. I thought you'd be excited about that. I don't know. I'm pushing for it. I almost said it was going to, you could only use it if you got that, but I didn't think I should use that strong leverage in that. But that's on August 10th, and we do need some help for that. So if you're available, again, see Pastor Ryan or Pastor Aaron. They will help direct you. It's an incredible, incredible fun night, and you are a part of that. I want to talk to you today on this thought, identity. And as I studied this, as I really pushed into this and prayed, I really feel like this is one of the most important messages that I've ever communicated in my life. As I was reading this, and maybe it's more for me than it is for you, but as I was reading this, many things, as I was studying, as I'm just going through piles of different research on this, man, did it just impact my life. And it all stemmed from me. I was involved in a profile analysis, a profile test several weeks ago, in which everybody in the room, well, you know, it's funny, everybody wanted to win. And there was no winners. It was just an exercise to find out who you are, why you think the way you do, what and how you react in life. Who are you as a person? And as I did that, I not only found out things about me, and I've done several before, but it was just the exercise just really turned me around. It helped me to understand not only myself, but it helped me understand who others were. It helped me understand why I do what I do and why they do what they do. And the word identity is simply, it's just understood, and one of the definitions is the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Or I took this next one out of the book that Brad Chuzinski is going through on Thursdays in his Connect group class at noon that's in the Outback or online. It says, your repeated beingness. And again, I don't know if that's a real word, but it was in the book, so I took it. And I think it's good. It's what you do. Because the more you repeat a behavior, the more you associate with the identity of that behavior. And your behaviors becomes your habits, which in turn becomes your identity. And my goal here isn't today just to help you see who you are right now. But my goal is here today is for us to see who we can become. Because some of you, you may be living with an identity because of the environment that you were born into that created habits, that created an identity in you that isn't really who you are called to be. Who you are called to be is not even who you think you should be called to be. And as I studied this, I read that psychologists assume that identity formation is a matter of finding yourself. I got to find who I am, the true me. That the ultimate goal for individuals is to develop and nurture the choices that are consistent with their true self. This is what psychologists, and listen, I agree with many things that they say, not all the time. This happens to be one that I vehemently disagree with. They say, to deny the true self is to deny the best within. To find more happiness in life means to live in harmony with one true self. Everything is about you, what you like, what flips your switch, what makes you happy. And that's just because that's a limitation of all your environment has been exposed to. But Jesus said it this way. He said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, and I want you to really look at this and take this in. He says to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he said, let him deny himself. That is the opposite of what psychologists say. Embrace who you are. Jesus says, deny yourself, your fleshly desires. And that word himself means your conceited opinion of yourself. That a Greek word that describes it that way. It means your conceited opinion of yourself based on your limited environment exposure. I know I said a lot right there, but get it. Get it in your mind. Psychologists, the world say, do what makes you feel good. Jesus said, no, I got a better way that if you'll put that aside and you'll come after me, I'm going to fulfill you like you have never, ever been fulfilled in your life. He goes on to say, for whoever wants to save his life, he loses. And that Greek word for losing it means it comes to ruin. When you try to do and fulfill what you want. And if I did that from a young man, I was just sitting thinking yesterday and today, you know, when I was a young man, after my mother had died, I just my mind went just crazy. You know, I'm homeless. I'm living in the back of my truck. I'm working on the farm. My girlfriend's grandmother at the time, she's pounding me with the Bible, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, will you leave me alone, old lady, and just let me do what I want to do? And thank God that he knew beforehand who I could be. And he sends this 70-some-year-old woman into my life at that time, glasses 3 inches thick, and her hair rolled up in a bun with long dress and big boots like she was in the army, and she'd bring the Bible up to me and she'd say, "Let me read you a scripture verse." And I'd say, "I don't want to hear a scripture verse." And then my boss says, "Let her read it to you. I'm paying you." That's a good boss. He said, whoever wants to save his life loses it. But whoever loses his life, whoever gives up his conceited opinion about what he thinks is right, whoever loses his life for my sake, he'll find it. Because he finds everything that God has for him. For what will a person be profited if he gains the whole world, but he forfeits his life or his soul, King James says. Or what will a person give in exchange for his life or his soul? And the word means, the Greek word is psuche. It means your feelings, your desires, your affections. You want it all. You want to feel good. But Jesus says, wait a minute, if you'll give up that and embrace what I have, you're going to find the life that you never thought you could live. Because if all you do is choose to hold on with just what you may know, all you have ever been exposed to, that's all you'll ever get. But when you choose to deny the limited experience, the limited knowledge of what life is really about, and you find Jesus, you find everything. It's like when you come to Him, He said in Revelation, He said, "I stand at the door of your heart. If any man hears the knock and opens the door," He said, "I'll come in and I will sup with them and they with me." It's like you stand at the door of this great life, and on this side is your baser life, is it your selfish, conceited, "I want what I want when I want it." But when you relinquish that and you receive Christ as your Savior, you step through that door and life opens up to you in a dimension. And you're like, "Wow, I can't believe that this is happening to me like it's happening to me right now." Come on, does anybody in this house know what I'm talking about today? And Jesus said, if you want that life, if you want that identity that He has for you, there must be a movement in your life to move past what you want and to move towards what He has for you. And it simply means to say no to my desire. No, sometimes no to my feelings. Sometimes no for the things that normally want to come out of my mouth, the negativity, the words like "I can't," "I won't," and "who, you know, that's not me." Instead of saying that, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be everything that God has called and created me to be." And when you begin to feel it and say it and you begin to walk in it, you become it. And placing your identity in Christ changes the way you live because it helps you to rise above adversity. And even if you're in adversity, God uses it to help you rise above it. Not understanding our identity in Him will keep us living below the privileges that He has for us in Christ. And you know, it's normal for you and I to identify with something or someone that makes us feel connected and gives us a sense of belonging. You know, I thought of this. How many Bills fans do we have in here this morning? Come on, let me hear some noise. You got some Bills fans? When the Bills win a game, everybody, they'll come into church and say, "We won!" And they're high-fiving one another. "We won!" And I just hear that and I'm thinking, wait a minute, you won what? You didn't play? You didn't get tackled? You didn't kick the ball, you didn't run the ball, you didn't throw the ball. But you'll walk in, you got your favorite player, you got their name, you got their number on your shirt, because you identify with the win, and because you identify, you feel like you have won yourself. I've seen people come in, man, the church is in the best position on those Sundays. You worship the best, you amen the best, you give the best. But if the Bills lose, half of you stay home, you're sulking, you're feeling blue and bad, you're feeling miserable, you want to give up on life, you overeat, you overdrink, you do everything because you lost. Although you didn't play. And there's an important spiritual truth in the middle of all of this for the redeemed child of God. The difference between you and that team that won is that you were most likely, you didn't have anything to do with it. You never, and you'll never will. You'll never play on it. You won't get it. I'm sorry to bring that to some of you. You think you're going to be the next Josh Allen or Jim Kelly. You know, you just never, it's not going to happen. But when Jesus went to the cross and he won and you accepted him as your Savior and as your Lord, he positioned you to identify with Jesus Christ. Not only in life do you get bumped up against, you get tackled, you get thrown down, you get lied about, you get fouled on, you make some terrible mistakes, but when that team wins, you still win. And it's the same thing with Jesus Christ. In life, you will fall down. You will make a mistake. You'll get lied upon, cheated upon. You'll get robbed, kicked, talked bad about. But in the end, because you identify, come on, you're not amen to me as good as I'm preaching right now. Because you are a child of God, you are a winner today. Because he has clothed you in his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible says, because you identify with him, you are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And Paul says, that's who you are. Come on this morning, did you hear that? As a redeemed child of God, you are an heir of everything that the Heavenly Father has and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You participate in all. And I know that may be hard for someone today, but I just want to gently nudge you to receiving this and knowing this in your life. Because when you begin to accept it and you believe it, you'll begin to walk in it and you identify with it. Then you begin to experience the blessings that come with it. You become who that is. And the blessings include grace of God, the forgiveness of God, healing of your sick body, provision. When you're broke, busted, and disgusted, you don't walk around saying, oh, I don't have anything. You might say, oh, right now I can't do that, but something great is coming in my life. You get guidance, you get strength, because your identity with Christ allows you to participate and be entitled to all of these things. And I want to encourage you today that you are not who someone else has called you or even what you have called yourself. Other people are not qualified to name who you are, and nor are your circumstances powerful enough to define who you are. Your history could have marked you, but it cannot label who you are. Your mother or your father could have hurt you, abused you, disappointed you, and I'm sorry for that. It will take a moment in life to get on the other side of that, but that does not have the power to identify who you are to become. You are not defined by your failures. You are not defined by your struggles. You are not defined by your feelings or your circumstances. You are who God says you are today. Come on, give. That's a good time for you to give him a praise. And let me add one more thing to this. Your weaknesses are not a liability, but they can become a platform for the strength and the power of God to be displayed to the whole world. Look what God has done in this life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen people, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you are God's special possession. Wow, that's beautiful. That you may declare the praises of him, look at this, who called you out of darkness. How many of you are in this house today that when he found you, you were in a dark, dark, dark place? He called you out of darkness and put you in his marvelous and wonderful light. Come on today. Deny that old nature. Deny that old self. Step into the new identity that He has called for you and I to be in, because you are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. And I want to just tell somebody, I was reminded this morning. I dated this girl in high school. She, after Patty, she was the most beautiful girl in the school. So like how I set that up there. And all of her life, she used to tell me, her mom and dad said, "You were a mistake. We didn't plan you. You just, you know, like, you know, as the older I get, and I think about those, or I hear that, where other people tell me, you're a mistake. There's no mistake. In Psalm 139, the Bible says, while you were being formed in your mother's womb, I was there. You are not a mistake. You are not an afterthought. You are not an oops. You are not a problem. You are not an issue, or you are not a cast out. You are a child of the Most High God. You've been created in the image and the likeness of God. You are no afterthought. You are a forethought. And you and I can either live up to what God has called us to, or we can live down to what life would try to make us. Because the enemy wants to keep you from the identity that God has for your life. He wants to distort it, and he wants to destroy it, because he does not want you to be everything that he has called you to be. I pondered this morning, and I didn't know if I'd share it. My dad, when I was a little boy, he used to say things like, "You're a worthless piece of blank." He'd look at me, he'd call me names. He'd say, "You'll never amount to anything." He'd look at me and he'd say, "You know, you're the last one. He was 46 when I was born." He said, "We never thought you would come." He'd speak those things into my life day in and day out. Now listen, I could hold on to that. I have every reason in the world to be a victim. I have every reason in the world when my dad would slap and spit on us. He put my brothers in a corner and he'd pour whiskey over top of them and then drink it and say, "You guys, you're useless." That's not who we are. That's not who I am. I've been born again. I'm part of the family of God. I'm part of the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so. God has changed my life. He's opened up a whole new life for me. Let me tell you, when I look at my family to this day, I shake my head. And I don't do it once in a while, probably once a week, once every other day. I look and I say, "Look at what God has done." Let me close on these two thoughts. He wants to change the way you see yourself. And this is who you really are. The Bible says you're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, he makes all things brand new." We are the righteousness of God. I shared this earlier. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ." We have been healed because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:24. Here it is again. "Who himself," nothing to do with you. You can't do it. That's why you need and I need Jesus in our lives. "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sin, we might live for righteousness." And then he ends the thought, "By whose stripes we are healed." We are healed from our past. I am healed. I can say what my dad said about me. It has no hold on me because I am healed. I am redeemed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That my identity is hidden in Christ now. It's not hidden in what some alcoholic said in a drunken stupor, or somebody else on the street said to me when they were having a bad day. My identity is in the hand of a living, resurrected Savior. Some of you are going to wince when I say this, but God has made and called you and I to be rich. Rich in favor, rich in blessing, rich in peace, rich in family, rich in home, rich in abundance, but rich in every way. 2 Corinthians 8:9. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. I know this is going to be hard for somebody, but just go ahead and say it. Jesus made me rich. That is the worst representation of his promise I have ever heard this church utter. Come on, say it like you mean it. Jesus has made me rich. Amen. Accept that. And because we are accepted, Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You are not an outsider. You are an insider. You are part of the family of God. And lastly, we are free from sin. My goodness, this is so good. Romans 6:22 in the Passion Translation says, but now, as God's loving servants, you live in joyous freedom from the power of sin. You live in joyous freedom from the power of sin. So consider the benefits you now enjoy. You are brought deeper into the experience of true holiness that ends with eternal life. Come on, it's time for us to say who God says we are. Because when we do, our life changes, our circumstances change, our outcome change, our future changes, our thoughts change, our expectations change, our decisions change, our hopes and our dreams, they begin to change. And when these things change, you begin to see differently, you begin to talk differently. For some of you, your tribe may have to change because you can't soar with eagles if you're welded home in the hen house. Come out of that place today. Come on up, Debbie. Let God's promises transform you and make you into who he has created you to be. Come on, if you receive it and you believe it today, give God the best praise that you can in this house. Let's prepare to receive communion today. If you did not receive, get a cup on your way in. Put your hand up now. The ladies and gentlemen in the back, they will bring them to you. Put your hand right up so they can see you. Come on, guys and ladies, let's take them to them. Right in the middle here, there's some up here. Way down in front here. Larry, can you bring one down right here? More hands up over here. Brad, Mike, Donnie. Who else is back there? All these hands up over here. Come on, guys. Any hands over here? Anyone else? You are who God says you are today. I said you are who God says you are today. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You're right, I probably don't. But he does. And he never leaves you there. He never leaves you. It's not his intention to abuse you or to hurt you today. It's his intention to say, come on, walk through this door. I'm going to show you life like you have never, ever experienced it, ever in your life. You're going to see things. He's going to take you before great men and women. You're going to go and experience experiences that you never, ever thought you would. When you just say yes to him. Before we partake of this today, just close your eyes and bow your head. Just everybody in here, say, Jesus, I want to come to you wholeheartedly. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to deny myself. I'm coming after you. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise you for that today. As we take the bread together, the wafer, Jesus said, this is my body which has been broken for you. When you eat it, You remember what I have done for you. Today, you and I can identify with Christ. We can be a part in this communion act today. He's got the power to release you from your past and to bring you into your destiny today. Lord, I thank you for your body that has been broken. Let's partake together today. The same way he took the cup, he said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you." You're redeemed today, my brothers and my sisters. You're redeemed. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You've been saved. You've been healed. You've been restored. You've been delivered because of the cross of Calvary. He took the cup. He said, "This is my blood. This is the New Testament. As often as you drink it, remember me." Let's partake. Spirit of the living God, blow on your people, I pray now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm going to say goodbye to the people watching online. For those of you that are here, I want to do one more thing before we leave. I love you. I thank God for each and every one of you. Pray for you. I hope to see you Thursday. If you can't make it in person, we'll be online as well. God bless you so much today.